The Lord has already answered one of my prayers. Amen. These microphones are on. I started praying when I seen there wasn't no lights and no microphones. So I'm going to have to really project my voice
up here.
Anyway, first of all, giving reverence to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and giving honor to my pastor, and also Reverend Jay Wright. I want to also say to my church family and to all our guests and visitors, we greet you this morning. If we could just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for one more opportunity to stand in the pulpit and preach your word, Lord, praying that you would lead, guide, and direct everything that I have to say this morning, Lord, that you would use me to your glory. Glorify God so that men would glorify God. In Jesus' name, amen. As you know, we are in the middle of the top five questions from the congregations at this time, and I've been assigned the subject of obedience. That's a good subject. My text will be coming from Ephesians, the sixth chapter, verses 1-9. And I've also been given some subtopics, and one of them would be the Beatitudes, and the other one is knowing your place. And that is a lot to preach on. And so I'm going to just stick with the Ephesians, the sixth chapter, 1-9, that text of scripture, and the subject of obedience. Let me read the text here first, and starting at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in training and admonition of the Lord. 5, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your master also in heaven, and there is no partiality with him.
Right.
Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word. Again, our subject is obedience. You know, when I got this subject, I thought about many different ways that I could go with this particular topic. And we have obedience to the Word of God, obedience to the Holy Spirit, be in obedience to our church. Our church has a church covenant. And then we have our pastor. And that is, there is a lot of areas in the Christian life where obedience is an important aspect of our Christian walk. Now, I personally feel that as a Christian, we must not worship man. I was a member of a church called Lake Hills. And as a member of this church, our pastor would preach, and he would say, "I didn't die for you. Don't worship me, but worship God."
All right.
You know, we must not put a pastor on a pedestal. First of all, God commands it. "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, neither my praise to graven images."
Right.
We do not put man on a pedestal nor worship man. When the lame man was lying at the gate called Beautiful, and he was healed, he held to Peter and John. The people saw it and was amazed. Peter saw it and responded to the people of Israel, "Why do you marvel at this? Why do you look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we made this man walk?" In other words, don't worship us, but worship God.
Right.
I've heard many pastors and preachers get up and tell the congregation that, "I didn't die for you. Jesus died for you. Jesus is our shepherd. Our pastor is our under-shepherd." When the pastor was called to serve elsewhere, the sheep were scattered. Members of the church, they called another pastor to the church, and for some reason it didn't work out. And the youth pastor opened up a church, and then another minister opened up another church somewhere else. Well, what I'm trying to say is, once the pastor left, the sheep became confused. I was listening to Bishop T. Larry Kirkland, and he told a story of a church mother. And what he said was that some members had formed a committee, and they decided to circulate a petition to remove the pastor from the church. And so they came to the church mother, and they asked her to sign the petition. And she told them, "See, I come to church to see Jesus. Say, I'm not going to sign your petition. I come to church to see Jesus." She said, "If he's too tall, I look over him. If he's too fat, I look around him." Said, "But I'm not going to sign your petition, because I don't come to serve the pastor. I come to see Jesus."
Yes, Lord.
You know, I heard this same pastor, Pastor Dave DeVries, I quote, said this about flattery. Say, flattery is to say something to someone you would never, to someone to their face, that you would never say behind their back. Let me say that if you didn't get it. Flattery is to say something to someone's face that you would never say about them behind their back.
Right.
That's to build them up face to face.
Right.
But won't say a word to defend them behind their back.
Right. Right.
So when Dave was called to become a life coach in Seattle, the life coach for younger pastors, that they call it church planting. The church that Dave was the pastor of in Lake Hills was a church that he had planted in Lake Hill in Castaic. And he became a life coach, and so he was moved to Seattle. And as I was saying, after they moved him, we saw the selection committee had called another individual to be the pastor. And during the process, it broke down, and it wound up with the church splitting. The reason I'm saying this is this. I've come to understand that we have to be able to see Jesus in our pastor. We have to be able to, as a associate minister here at St. John's, I said, I don't worship man, but I do support my pastor, support my church. I believe that it's my responsibility to serve here, not with my own agenda, but to help in any way that I can with the pastor's vision for this church. And also, I want to just say this. I look forward to what this church is going to become under this young pastor. The church growth. And I really truly believe that this church is headed in the right direction. And so I'm not saying this as a that I don't respect my pastor. What I am saying though is that from that experience at Lake Hills and other churches I have been at, that I have learned that I need to be rooted in Christ, and that I need to be faithful to my church first, and that I need to be faithful to Christ first. And if I honor Christ through my pastor, then I will be honoring my pastor. And so I just find that I've just seen that when people, I don't care how great the pastor is, how good of a person the pastor is, when you put everything in the pastor, then what happens is when the pastor leaves, then the church is in confusion or disarray and unable to stand on its own. And so we have to have more foundation than just liking a pastor. That's what I'm trying to say.
Amen.
And so I look past my pastor to honor Jesus Christ. I honor Jesus Christ through my pastor. The way I treat my pastor is the way I would treat the Lord. Ephesians 6, 1 through 9, we read it before, but I'm going to read it again here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy mother and thy father, for this is the first commandment with a promise. All the parents should say amen to that. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in nurture and admonition of the Lord. I've oftentimes heard the first part, the first verse, children, obey your parents, preached very often. But I haven't heard that much about verse 4 where it says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in nurture and admonishment of the Lord. And I say that because it's very important that we understand that the Lord commands children to obey their parents, but it also calls the parents to be godly parents.
All right.
And to raise them in a godly way. And he goes on to say, servants, be obedient to them that are masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart, as unto Christ, not as eye servers or men pleasers, but as servants to Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as the Lord, as to the Lord, and not to men. Not knowing that whatever good thing any man doeth, the same he shall receive from the Lord, whether he is bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also in heaven, neither is there a respect of person with him. You know, I think that when we look at our situation, our society today, we don't have slaves and masters. But I think that if we were to replace the word master with employer, that we would find that this verse would fit very well in our daily living.
Right.
And another thing I want to say, too, that these scriptures, we cannot compare them to slavery here in America, because this is referring to, in the Jewish society, if a man borrowed money and couldn't pay it back, he would sell himself into slavery and work that debt off. And so it's not the same type of slavery or the cruel institution that we had here in the United States.
Right.
And we also know that was the year of Jubilee. In the seventh year, if he had not worked off that debt, then he would be released and also given some money in the year of release, unless he wanted to stay with that master. And so I just want to say that if we look at this verse where it says master and we replaced it with employer, or what we have in our society today, you will find this information or this scripture would work very well for us in our society today.
All right.
You know, when we go to work, you know, sometimes we at work and some people take long breaks and they're not doing their job right. Well, it says that we work as if unto the Lord, that we are to work as if unto the Lord. And we're not to be man pleasers or eye service. That is what people see us do, but doing what's right in the eyes of God. One of the things I see here that I believe is very important is that in each instance, when it came to obeying your parents, obeying your master, and as I was saying, our pastor, mother and father, what we see behind each and every one of them is the Lord.
Yes.
Obey your parents in the Lord.
Right.
Your masters as unto the Lord. We should serve here in our church as unto the Lord, being the greater purpose or the greater meaning behind our service to God. The believer is assured salvation from hell, eternally secure, since salvation is based solely upon the finished work of Jesus Christ. John 10:28-29, Romans 8:38-39. Therefore, it is inconsistent with the gospel and with scripture to seek to gain or to keep eternal salvation by godly living. The scripture, however, does present several motivations for obedience in the Christian life. One, a powerful motivation for living the Christian life is gratitude.
Right.
Gratitude to God for saving us by his grace.
Right.
Romans 12:12, 2 Corinthians 5:14, Galatians 2:20. Two, believers should be motivated by the knowledge that their Heavenly Father both blesses obedience and disciplines disobedience in his children. Hebrews 12, 3 and 11, Leviticus 26, 1 through 45. You know, I'm so glad that it says that he disciplines his children, and it doesn't say he curses his children. You know, I hear some people interpret as curses for disobedience. And I say that because there are times that I hear people say, Job's friends, when he was going through, they was talking to him as if he was cursed, you know. And but thank God that God disciplines us. And when we are disciplined, we know that we are his child. All right. And finally, every Christian must stand before the judgment seat of Christ, not to determine his destiny in heaven or hell, but to assess the quality of his Christian life on earth. 2 Corinthians 5, 10, and Revelation 22 and 12, anticipating loss or reward at the judgment seat, should also motivate believers to perseverance and faithfulness to God's revealed will. 1 Corinthians 10, 3 through 17, James 5, 8 and 9. You know, I spoke about being obedient to the Holy Spirit. You know, how many times have we been in the supermarket standing in line and you get a little unction from the Holy Spirit to say something to the person in front of you? But you don't say nothing, you know, or you're at work somewhere and you might get a little nudge from the Holy Spirit, you know, or then we might just be just defiant and just do our own thing. And you're grieving the Holy Spirit. And so if we are obedient to the Holy Spirit, we'll be able to live a more powerful and a more fruitful Christian walk. You know, it's a shame how many churches that was full at one time because of somebody fell into sin and split up, and so many people that could have been saved or led to Christ just because somebody was disobedient to the Holy Spirit. You know, I believe that it is right for us to be obedient to the Word of God. All through the Bible, it tells us how to live right. It gives us rules and things that we should follow. And when we are wrong, we know we're wrong. Amen. The Bible was written to change us. If we to do what is commanded us in the Bible, we obey the commandments and we obey our parents, it would only enrich our lives. Now, I know that we're not capable of keeping the Ten Commandments, but we know one that was capable of keeping the Ten Commandments. And that one was Jesus.
Right.
He was obedient even till the death on the cross. Bible says that when he was standing trial before Pilate, that he opened not his mouth, that they took him from judgment hall to judgment hall.
Right.
But yet he said not. They lied on him. They brought him before Pilate, and they cried out for the Romans to crucify him, saying that he was a traitor to Rome. Mm-hmm. And so he carried his own cross down the Via Dolorosa to a hill called Golgotha,
yes,
where they nailed him in his hands and they pierced him in his side and they hung him there all day long in between two thieves.
Right.
He gave up the ghost. They buried him Friday. He stayed in the grave all day Saturday. But it was early Sunday morning.
Right.
And that he rose up again.
Right, right.
And because he rose again, we have hope.
All right.
We have hope that we can live this life.
Right.
And we can face tomorrow. No matter what we're going through, we can face tomorrow. Because our hope is in Christ. Right. Amen.
Amen. Amen.